Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome back to the Ages of Rock podcast. It's Bill, Dennis, and Alan. We actually made it this week. Took a little hiatus last week. It's Alan.
You know, between Christmas.
For those of you that can't see, Alan's trying to show us where his hatch is with his name on it.
Yeah, he does that so he knows what.
He puts his name on his clothes.
That's why I've got my name tattooed on my arm.
Yeah, it's on the inside of his shirt, too, in case him and Laura decide to switch clothes. He knows which ones are his.
I know, like I said, in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's a busy time for one person. And then you got three people to try to get together. It's been tough. We've all been busy.
Well, just been the normal day to day. Oh, I didn't expect that to happen. Things come up, you know.
Sure.
Yep.
Such is life. We missed you guys last week. Thanks for coming back this week.
Yeah, and if you're back, great.
And if you didn't come back, fuck you.
Yeah, well, suck it. Anyway, so tonight we're going to do a kind of a three thing review. I don't know what you're going to call it. A triple threat. Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, because this episode is 333.
You know, which is ironic.
Totally coincidental.
Unplanned. And it is half of 666.
The number of the bees.
So we should.
You know what 668 is?
Two more of the number of the beast.
The neighbor of the beast.
No. Okay. Man.
Oh,
the hits just keep on coming.
I just heard Mike Gayhafer just sigh really loud. It's like, fuck you, Alan. I just heard it. Wow. I know it.
Nothing like having friends you can pick on.
That's right.
All right. So we're going to do three things tonight. We're going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the actual live. Help me out.
The live performances.
I can't. Live performances that they did. Talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about. Bill Maher had Gene Simmons on his show. We're going to talk a little about that, we hope. And we're going to talk also about the new Ronnie James Dio documentary. Right. But to start off, does anybody have any news? I have one thing I'd like to share to start off with, which one of our buddies, Brian Durbin, who is the lead singer for Hairbanger's Ball, that we have seen numerous times. His father passed away recently. Just want to shout out to you, buddy. We're thinking about you, and God bless you, and good luck, man.
Yep. Sorry for your loss, Brian.
Yep. We need to have him on again soon. We haven't talked to him for a while.
Yeah, we will do that. Yep. So that was kind of some news. And then there's all kinds of stuff going on in Nashville. Tonight, we're recording on Tuesday. There's a Rare Hair show.
Oh, is that tonight?
And we're all sitting at home in Indiana.
I can't midweek unless I'm
on. It's just hard.
It's hard.
It's probably a good thing I don't live in Nashville, though, because...
And Curtis was coming up from
totally.
Curtis totally. Was coming up from Atlanta to play with him tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Who was coming up?
Curtis Clark, who has been on our show.
Who's also been on our show. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Haven't seen him for a while.
Yeah,
I follow him, but haven't seen him.
Yeah. I seen where he was going to be down there.
So that's a little bit of the news I know. Other than that, I don't know much.
Yeah, there's nothing. I haven't bought any their albums. Oh, I did go see. Did I talk about that last? No, we didn't talk about that last week because I wasn't on.
We weren't here last week, dummy.
Real quick, I saw Daryl Hall and No Oats and Todd Rundgren 2 weeks ago.
Daryl Hall and No Oats. That's
funny. just a real quick thing. Todd Rundgren was fucking horrible.
When you say he was horrible, you mean vocally or just the whole show was off?
The sound was really, really, really bad. And his voice wasn't really good. He was a little off, but I think it may be the fact that he couldn't hear himself. So I'll give him that credit because he did come out later on and sing with Daryl Hall, and it was a little bit better. So I think it was he just couldn't hear himself. Midway through his 1 hour performance, my friends, we took a couple with us, and one of her friends, she noted to us that he's not wearing any underwear. And he's 70 something years old, and he had these pants on, and his, even when Johnny Knoxville does that grandpa thing where his balls hang down about to his kneecaps, well, that's kind of the way he is. There's video of it on YouTube. I'll send you a clip. Once that seal is broken, you can't do anything but go. It's like, God damn, put that thing away. Instead of throwing your panties up on stage, I'm gonna throw a 3-pack of fucking Fruit of Loom up at him. One of these on. But anyway, Daryl Hall was really, really good. He had the house band with him from Daryl's house, of course. A little light on the Hall and Oates songs.
Yeah, I had heard that he wasn't doing many of those on this tour.
No, but the ones he did, they were good. He did a lot of his own stuff. He did one with, he was just him playing piano, and the acoustic guitar player did Here Comes the Rain Again by Eurythmics. Really, really good. I mean, it was kind of give you a goosebumps kind of thing.
I'd heard about that as well.
But it was funny because our friends that was with us, she wanted to hear Maneater. And I'm like, going, he's not going to play Maneater. And it wasn't two songs in, this old dude's across the aisle from us goes, play Maneater. I go, there you go. Somebody's hollering for it. And but he didn't deviate from the list. So anyway, but anyway, yeah, it was a decent show. We had a good time. All right. I'm done. That's one thing I'm done.
I had something I was going to say, and I forgot.
Did you see Oates? Did you see Oates?
No. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I don't know if he's permanently off the tour now, but Rex Brown and the Pantera reunion hasn't been playing the last few shows.
I saw that.
Somebody said that they thought he had COVID and that he was going to come back later, but I am not a Pantera fan. You know, I would go see that maybe once just because it kind of intrigues me, but I'm not enough of a Pantera fan to look it up and see if he's coming back or not.
I've watched a couple clips on YouTube. I'm not, I mean, Zach's playing it, but I just don't. I actually saw him live once years ago, and I was not impressed. We actually left. So I'm not a big fan. Never been a big, I never got Pantera. So anyway.
Okay.
That's what I think. All right.
Yeah, and that's enough about that.
Let's get on topic number one.
All right, topic number one. I think we're going to start off with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And the performances that were done there. So that took place on at the Microsoft Theater in New York, or Los Angeles, I believe. Los Angeles, sorry. The wrong city. On Saturday, November 5th, I did watch it on – I did not watch it live. I watched it later on HBO. And I only watched it for the ceremonies because I could give a rat's ass who got inducted, because of half of it is, we'll talk about that. So Right. Anyway, so first up on the bill was Duran Duran. They were inducted by Robert Downey Jr. They did Girls on Film, Hungry Like a Wolf, and Ordinary World. There were most of the original band members there, but Andy Taylor was not there because he is battling stage 4 prostate cancer. Yes. And was not able to make the gig. But I thought they sounded really good, to be honest with you. I thought I was very surprised how good Simon Le Bon still sounds. He hasn't lost much, that's for sure.
That was actually my favorite performance of the night, to be honest. I'm like you. I want to go see Duran Duran now. Because if they can sound like that, I mean, it was really, really good.
I don't think I said that, but I thought
me,
it was good.
For me, it was the best of the night. I mean, I was really, I actually watched it today. This is I watched it. Actually, YouTube has the whole performance released by HBO, so it's the real good quality. And I was very impressed. Sound was really good.
Well, I thought
they did really good.
My only beef with their performance is they should have dropped Ordinary World, because I never did like that song. And they should have played Union of the Snake, because that's my favorite Duran Duran song.
Maneater.
We're so selfish. Exactly. There you go. We're so selfish.
But I did like the way they used the orchestration. They had some people up there playing cellos and violins and stuff. And but it was the guitar player. I don't know who that guy is, but he's really good. And his guitar was pretty hot that night. And
so was it Was it Mick Taylor? Mike Taylor?
I don't know who it is. I'm not. I'm not a. Nick. Know. No, Nick is the. Isn't he the keyboard player?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, I don't. Nick. Yeah.
Nick. And, Mick. Mike. Andy. Bob. John. John Taylor's the bass player. Is that right?
And John, he's a hell of a bass player.
That dude is a hell of a bass player.
I was really impressed. So yeah, I thought it was a great performance. Well deserved.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was good. The next performance was Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo, and they did All Fired Up, Love is a Battlefield, and Heartbreaker.
I have not seen the All Fired Up. The YouTube
you missed
shows
a clip?
YouTube only has YouTube only has the two songs. So, okay. And they don't have I've got HBO. I just haven't had a chance to watch. I just tried to watch everything I could on YouTube, and that's what I could see. But her performance was spectacular too. I saw her here about a year ago, and she was taking her voice a lot higher than she was at the concert I saw. She was pushing it, but it worked. I thought she sounded really good.
I didn't think she was as good as I saw her this past summer. And really? At the state fair. And I didn't think she was as good as she was there. I mean, it was good, but I didn't think it was as good as she was there.
He's got to lose that ascot.
What?
He's wearing an ascot.
Oh, Nick.
The cover is chicken neck. He just
Neil.
That.
Sorry,
maybe,
Neil.
Maybe she gave him a bunch of hickeys and he didn't want to show.
Maybe. Patricia. Patricia gave him a lot of hickeys. You ever notice that? He always calls her Patricia.
Yeah. I approve of all three songs that they perform.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah. Agreed.
No Maneater. All right.
The next one was Judas Priest. Is inducted by Alice Cooper, which is pretty cool, which was You Got Another Thing Coming, Breaking the Law, and Living After Midnight.
Yes.
I approve of all three of those songs.
Great set list. I think Rob Halford still sounds pretty good.
He still sounds really good. I was glad to see KK out there. He looked like he was having a ball.
Yep.
Felt so sorry for Glenn. Glenn never moved one inch the whole performance. I mean,
but he was there.
He was there. And I think, you know, Richie was probably filling in some of his parts.
Now, does Glenn has arthritis? Is that correct?
He has. I don't know. Or, I don't think it's MS, but he's got some kind of degenerative muscular situation going on.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's, you know, like when he's come out on tour, he's played like one song and he plays the easy song, you know, like an easy song where he can just come out and strum to it. But, you know, he's just coming out to show. But yeah, he never moved the whole time, but I was glad to see him there. You know, thank God for that.
Yep. Agreed.
But great songs. Three good songs to do it with. I thought that was interesting.
For sure.
Yep.
And then Carly Simon. So Sarah, I believe Sarah Bareilles inducted her, but she also did a couple of songs. So she did Nobody Does It Better. And then somebody else did You're So Vain. So Olivia Rodrigo did You're So Vain. So both good songs.
I hadn't seen it, but she didn't show up, did she? She wasn't there, right? Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, she didn't. She didn't attend.
She's so vain.
I don't think that's why she didn't attend.
But you think this award is about you? You're so vain. Sorry. God.
Dennis, I approve.
Right. It's kind of funny because we try to give some respect to some of the older artists. But
and
not
they don't
that
even
one.
Show up. No, I love Carly Simon. I mean, she is fantastic.
Yeah.
A lot of great hits.
Next one was Lionel Richie, and that was Hello, Easy, who was joined by, some guitar player that Dennis likes. I don't know, whatever.
That's the only one.
Dave Grohl, and All Night Long.
I only saw the Easy. That's the only one that's on YouTube.
Really?
So, yeah. I thought his voice was a little weak. I don't know how it was in the other two songs. I mean, Lionel's getting up there. I mean, you got to give him some cred because, you know, he's how old is
Lionel? I don't think Lionel's any older than older than Rob Halford or
Did you think his voice was a little weak?
I didn't think it was very good.
Yeah, I thought it was very weak.
Yeah.
And Dave, I don't know why, what the purpose of having Dave Grohl come in and play in that little lead was. I mean, I love Dave, but still.
Well, they all kind of have a kind of a fun thing where they kind of right. do some of that kind of stuff. So I didn't have too much trouble with it.
Yeah, I was kind of, I hadn't seen the other two songs. Like I said, I'm going to watch it on HBO at some point here, probably over the weekend, and watch every one of the performances.
Yeah. Then next was the Eurythmics, which they did Would I Lie to You, Missionary Man, and Sweet Dreams.
Mostly I love acceptable. Right. I love her, but I didn't think I thought she was a little not quite on.
Yeah, it was kind of odd. I would agree. I thought it was kind of odd. It was just kind of.
To be fair, though, these people are, you know, like you said about Lionel, these people are in their 70s.
No, but no, I just thought she was off. Right. I saw her recently sitting at a piano playing, and she was spectacular. I mean, she sounded this within the last year or two. And she just, I don't know, it seemed a little thin. Her voice was a little thin. I don't know. Maybe just the setup or the sound. I don't know.
Could have been.
But it was, I was expecting more. Take that. Tell, you know. I thought it was good, but I expected more from her.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
Wouldn't agree.
Right.
You got anything else to add, Mr.
Nope.
Mr. Allen?
You approve? Right. Do you approve, Alan?
I said I mostly approve.
Okay, yeah, mostly.
Mostly.
Okay.
I like Missionary Man, but I would have picked a different one.
Right. What would you pick?
I don't know another one.
You said they did Here Comes the Rain Again.
Right.
Nope.
Would I Lie to You? What was the ones that you said they did?
Would I Lie to You, Missionary Man, and Sweet Dreams?
I would have put Here Comes the Rain Again in there.
Yep.
Damn. I agree.
Of course, you know, I'm also the top 40 pop hits kind of guy. So
that's what I've seen her do recently.
Here Comes the Rain Again definitely charted way better than Missionary Man did.
Yeah.
I'm a favorite.
For sure. All right. The next one is Eminem. He sings, his songs were My Name Is, My Name Is, My Name Is. Nobody gives a shit. Rap God and Sing for the Moment when he was joined by Steven Tyler. And then Stan, he was joined by Ed Sheeran. Forever and Not Afraid. So I'm assuming he did a little rap from each one of those or something. And I fast forward button.
Guess what? I cannot form any kind of opinion because I didn't see it either. But the fact that I didn't see it and Ed Sheeran was on there too, I'm glad I didn't see it.
You got a double. bonus there, didn't you?
That was a double bonus.
when I saw he was going to be on there, I'm like, Dennis will be so happy.
Look, Slim Shady and a leprechaun.
Slim Shady and. And he needs to be in the shade. Otherwise, he's going to get burned.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you have an umbrella?
I have to say, the song Stan, have you ever actually listened to that song?
Yeah, no. It's not a bad song.
It's a really well-written song, you know.
All right. I will watch it.
If you're going to give Eminem any benefit of the doubt, listen to that song. It's a good story, you know. But for the other songs... He did the one that you kept repeating over and over again. My name is.
Yeah.
I would have swapped that one out for Without Me. And I would have put Slim Shady in there.
I like Pete and M&M's.
Actually, 8 Mile is a good movie, though.
Never seen it.
It was a good movie.
It was a really good movie.
I'll take your word for it.
No, you should watch it, really. It's a good movie. All right. It truly is.
All right, and just for the record, Dennis, the song Stan is a duet with the female artist Dido.
Gotcha.
Not Dildo, Dido. D-I-D-O.
I thought you said she Dido. She died.
I want you Googling Dildo and getting a bunch of dick pics.
it's like I don't think this is right. Maybe I do.
That'd be funny.
We already signed him up for that whenever we got his new email. I went through and signed him up for a whole bunch of stuff.
Don't worry. Awesome.
I went out to every mailing list I could find and send me a newsletter. He's gonna get his email and go like, what the hell?
It'll happen anyway, probably.
That'll teach you to trust us. There you go. No kidding. All right. Then Dolly Parton went. She was inducted by Pink. She sang she didn't sing until the All-Star Jam, which is kind of interesting, or until the end, until the end of her part. She sang at the end of her part.
Okay.
So she did Brandi Carlile and Pink did Code of Many Colors, and then 95 with Sheryl Crow and Zac Brown, Zac Brown's band. And then she came out and said, if I'm going to be inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I need to do me a rock and roll song, and proceeded to do a pretty damn good rock and roll song, to be honest.
I heard, I actually watched that, and it was good.
Yeah, she did a good job, and she played.
She was squeezed into that leather outfit, I'll tell you that much.
She got the waist of an O-ring.
Why didn't she sing I Will Always Love You?
Because
you know, she wrote that song.
She pretty much gave that song to Whitney after Whitney recorded it.
I know, but she, I mean, that's, you know, her song.
She kind of did the same thing with that, like when Johnny Cash recorded Hurt. Right. You know, Trent Reznor was like, that's not my song anymore. Okay. That's kind of the same thing Dolly did with that song. So
I would like to hear her sing it, though. Yeah. I thought that would have been cool.
Why didn't she sing Jolene? Huh?
They did.
Well, they did. They did Jolene, but they did it.
I said, why didn't she sing it? Oh, I didn't say they.
Yeah, I don't know whether.
I'm just being a dick now.
Now you're just being an asshole.
Don't you diss Dolly.
It's kind of funny. We talk about,
you know,
don't go there.
Dolly's been around longer than I've been alive.
She's royalty, man.
And this goes back to the same thing, like when you've got the Rolling Stones or Kiss or Aerosmith, there's no way you're going to please everybody you're performing for.
No way.
There's always going to be somebody that's mad, you didn't do my song.
But it was good to see her, and I'm glad she did perform. Yeah, and I was surprised she was performing, because I thought she was like going to go, not going to show up, I'm not accepting the award and all that kind of stuff when she was first announced. But she did.
She's
good stuff.
I love her. She's a good person.
Then they did an All-Star Jam, and they did Jolene in High School Confidential and Great Balls of Fire. So it was just a medley with everybody up there, and it's pretty cool. I think they did a good job.
Watching those clips over the last couple of days just reminded me of what we really missed out on, and that's when Kiss was inducted, right before they came up to receive their fucking awards. All three of them in their fucking street clothes should have went over there and just had a very small setup, like their loft setup, and just played a couple of songs with the four of them, and then came over and got their awards and been done with it. You know, they could have made it that fucking simple. You know, not worried about the makeup, not worried about this. They missed a great opportunity to do that. That would have been a very memorable moment. But no.
You can't be surprised. You
absolutely. Egos talk.
Yeah. Anyway, it just sucks because it, you know, it could have been one of those moments.
Could have been.
But I was what I saw, I was very impressed. I was very happy.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go. So that's all I got to say about that.
Okay. Well, and that's still showing on HBO. And I think you can still see it on there. I'm gonna try to.
Well, if you've got HBO Max, you can probably stream it.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
You can. Yep.
Okay, so next on the list, we're going to jump right into a documentary that this recently came out, 2022, which is this year. It is on Showtime right now. You can watch it on there. I watched it actually last night, and I sit down. It is 2 hours and 7 minutes long. It's called Dio's Dreamers Never Die. I'm not going to go into all. I want people to watch it. I mean, I liked it. I mean, I really liked it. I thought it was a very well done documentary. Number one, it is slanted. Now, give you that. You know, this is produced by Wendy Dio, so it's, you know, he is golden. You know, they're not going to hear any dirt or anything like that, which is fine. You know, I love the way that they talked about more about his earlier career. With Ronnie and the Red Caps, hearing those crooner songs,
fucking fascinating. Dude, I didn't realize that he had been in. You know,
you never heard that before. See, I knew that.
I hadn't either.
Oh, really? See, I had heard some recordings before years ago.
See, when now I have got it's a 2 or 3 CD set of a bunch of Dio stuff. It's basically like a great big old greatest hits package.
Right.
And it's got some of that stuff on there that I just never paid attention to.
Right.
You know, because a friend of mine decided that he didn't want to listen to Ozzy or Black Sabbath or Ronnie James Dio anymore. So he sent me a bunch of stuff.
Right.
You know, and I got it and just kind of chucked it into a box. I'm going to have to go find that box and dig that stuff out and listen. Because that early stuff was really cool.
That is. I mean, he had just an unbelievable voice. You know, I didn't realize he was a trumpet player. Didn't know he was a bass player. You know, I didn't realize he was an actual, you know, could actually play instruments. I just thought the early stuff was really cool. I didn't know about the fatal crash that he was in with the Electric Elves when they had that. I'd never heard about that. You know, that was the person who died. That was basically his best friend.
It was his cousin, wasn't it?
It was a guy who co-wrote stuff with, and I mean, kind of like his Gene and Paul kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? His name was Nick, I believe. But anyway, I just thought it was very well done. Like I said, it is slanted. The thing I thought was funny was the fact of, you know, they talk about, you know, when Elf when the Electric Elves after the crash, they became Elf at that point. They actually got picked up by one of the big producers, and then they brought two of the guys from Deep Purple who were interested in basically producing them. And they
Roger Glover was like, we all got in there and sat down and everybody got their drinks and everything, and these little midgets come out on stage.
I thought that was funny. But they did. I mean, and then they talked about then, you know, basically going on the road with Deep Purple for at least a couple years. They toured the whole world with Deep Purple. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, of course, then, you know, Blackmore, you know, grabbed him and took him on, you know, for Rainbow. You know, and then, of course, you know, Rainbow turns sour after a while. And like I said, just watch the documentary. I could go into all the new why it happened and everything else. But, of course, then, you know, then he was out. You know, he didn't know what to do and everything. And then ends up, you know, getting hooked up with Black Sabbath. And then, you know, of course, that, you know, him and Iommi, you know, first it was, you know, him and Blackmore, and then it's him and Iommi. Then he's out again, you know, and then starts his own band. And then, of course, then, you know, gets Jimmy Bain. It was him, Jimmy Bain, and Apathy. But anyway, you know, and then of course they're trying to find that young hot guitar player, which come out to be Vivian Campbell. Well, then, you know, then what happens? Well, you know, Dio turns into basically, you know,
I'm the boss.
Blackmore, I'm the boss. And
it's my band, well, not your band.
It depends on who you talk to. They didn't say this because, you know, Wendy Dio was the producer and she's running this show. But I've heard, you know, from the grapevine too that, you know, it wasn't really Ronnie and him having issues. It was more with him and or her and Wendy had issues with him. And that's what, you know, and of course, you know, he basically said, you know, at one point, you know, I need more money. You know, I'm, you know, but he was,
well,
basically,
you know, the one thing,
nothing, and I made you a star, so you should be appreciative, you know.
Well, the one thing that I took away from that particular segment, you know, according to Ronnie, when they were off for 3 or 4 months or whatever, and they come back to start working on the next record, Ronnie's like, what did you write while you were gone? Oh, nothing. Sure.
Right.
You know, so if you're not going to contribute to that part of the band, well, no.
That's true.
I think I would have to side with Ronnie on that.
Yeah. I did like the, I knew that they had went somewhere. They had talked about, I had read somewhere when they wrote all the stuff for the Holy Diver album that they went someplace, but actually it was Sound City is where they went to and basically lived at Sound City at night, which I thought that was kind of a cool thing. And then,
I bet it was fun too.
Oh, hell yeah. And, you know, the thing was, I thought was interesting was, you know, of course they get into that question of, you know, what killed the, you know, the hair bands, of course, you know, then it was Nirvana. I thought that was kind of funny the way that, you know, how Dio got put into the box with everybody else. It's like, okay, these guys are gone. You know, we're not playing this.
My favorite quote out of that was when Rudy Sarzo said, you know, the MTV toilet needed to be flushed. That just cracked me up.
That was pretty funny. But anyway,
it's true.
I like watching all the, then, you know, they showed a lot of his footage from his live stuff, you know, through Holy Diver, through Last in Line. up in. I didn't realize that stage show had got by Sacred Heart and got that theatrical.
Ridiculous.
It almost, you know what? At the time, you know, people were, because probably half the people in the audience were stoned or taking acid or something. They were all flipping out over the big dragon. But looking back at it now, it looks really cartoonish. It looks kind of stupid.
I mean, at the time, that was.
But at the time, it was great.
You know, now going back to Sacred Heart and those album covers, you know, at one point in that show, I think it was at the very beginning when Eddie Trunk talked about, it was either Eddie Trunk or Jack Black. Somebody talked about back then that you didn't get to preview music. You had to judge your music by the cover and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
He was talking about how the, you know, the fantastical look or whatever got my attention and I just had to hear this. See, right. Now I was just the opposite. I don't like that fantastical stuff. I don't like fantasy. I don't like sci-fi. So anytime I saw an album cover that looked like that, I'm like, I don't even want to listen to that. You know. And now you go back and listen to Sacred Heart is not a very good example. But yeah. Holy Diver and The Last in Line, those are phenomenal albums that I missed out on for years.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Well, what I learned, you know, I thought the cool thing too was how they decided to shoot the, you know, the cover for Holy Diver.
That was pretty cool.
Take the picture, damn it. Take the picture.
We're going to put a bunch of chains on you and maybe you'll drown or maybe not. Who knows? But we're going to take some pictures.
And the dude's like looking at him and the guy's like, take pictures, damn it. Take pictures.
Make sure you reach for your life.
No, I thought that. I think the funniest little, because, you know, there's a lot of little great stories and little great, you know, little side notes to the whole show. But the Jack Black segment talking about when they recorded that thing for the movie, Pick of Destiny.
He brought his own mic.
He comes in, he goes, I got my mic in my corner. Like, dude, we have this Sennheiser, multi-thousand dollars. Yeah. And he's like, he's blasting into this thing and he's like, dude, turn it down. He goes, dude, I did turn it down. He's just blowing the diaphragm in this thing. And this other guy, okay, we're going to get the better microphone. Did the same thing. So then Ronnie's like, that usually happens. That's why I bring this microphone. You know? But I mean, he does have you can just watch him in the studio when you've seen him singing. It's just like they had a couple of them where he's just singing without it. You can't hear the background music.
Right.
I mean, his voice for a little elfy type guy, he had a huge voice. I mean, his voice was spectacular. But like I said, if you're a Dio fan of any sort, this documentary is well worth the watch. It is. It's 2 hours, and it goes by really quick.
I was gonna say it's right at 2 hours because the last five or six minutes is just credits.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a Dio fan, I mean, if you're a music fan at all, it's just neat seeing that where he came from and that he had sold a whole lot of records before he ever became popular.
Yeah, that's he had hit records before he even got, you know. And being a crooner, you know,
till that documentary, I had no idea, but it was really good.
A lot of good, and there's a lot of good people in it. Of course, you know, talking about him, there was Sebastian. I love Sebastian Bach. He's just such a fucking. He's just such a dork. Geezer was on there. Of course, Wendy Dio was in there quite a bit. Well, she's had a lot of face work done. You could tell she's been worked on. Lita was in there. Craig Goldie. Rob Halford, Tommy Iommi. Let's see, Rudy Zarzos was in there. Eddie Trunk. He must have been really close to Dio.
Yeah, I think they were. Yeah, Don Dokken and Jeff Pilson was in there too.
John Dokken, Jeff Pilson. Don Dokken has got the highest voice. He's got the like this weeny little voice. Ever know? I never really heard him talk very much. He doesn't sound like he should, you know, way he talks or looks. That Pilsen's pretty funny. He was on there. Bill Ward. So, yeah, there was quite a few people in there talking. And Jack Black. And like I said, it's a glory fest and a praise fest. But, you know, that's what you're going to get for that kind of documentary.
That's what I expected.
But it's good. It's worth it. I mean, it's worth the praise because he was – I don't know how accurate the thing was talking about when he would meet people on the road. He could, you know, remember – things about the person that he met maybe a year prior or something like that, you know, that might have happened, might not happen, who knows, but they talk like it was like a regular event, you know,
Who knows?
Like, oh, your dad was sick the last time I saw you. How's he doing? That kind of thing. I was like,
you know, really, that is pretty impressive.
If that really were, you did that, but that is very impressive.
Yeah. So. It seems to me Eric Carr had that ability to remember from town to town, stuff like that too. You know, and I mean, it is impressive when somebody just absorbs that much knowledge and remembers that much stuff.
Exactly.
So these other guys are like, I don't even remember what happened yesterday.
Yeah. But you know, the one thing I didn't quite get was, you know, that he, you know, had the cancer. He went through, he was kind of, I don't know if it was in a remission, but he was doing better. He went and he got that award for, I don't know, some kind of a medal guy.
The medal award. It was a rock and roll. Yeah.
And then it's like, it's just right after that, she talked about he was back in the hospital and then, you know, jumped up at morning and, you know, 7:30 and just died. So I don't know how long they didn't really give a time of, because it said he died within 6 months of his diagnosis, is what I was reading here earlier. So I don't know why, you know, it went from, I don't know. They didn't really go into detail. I guess it's just, they're just kind of not going to go with it.
Well, it could have not have been sick and they found something and it just was very progressive. I mean, that's very possible.
It could have been something from, he did a bunch of experimental.
Experimental treatments.
Treatments and stuff like that, chemo. So it could have been something else that, you know, he died, you know, actually caused him, you know, maybe something else, sparked something else. Anyway, I really liked it. Great documentary.
Yep, I agree. Yep.
Cool.
Good stuff. Worth $2.
Oh, you have to pay $2 for it?
Yeah, because I don't have Showtime. I have Showtime for $2. Oh,
I have. See, we already had it through Prime Video, through Prime.
Well, you're still paying for it.
Amazon, but yeah.
Whatever.
Yes, but it's amortized over all the other shit you spend your Amazon.
That's true.
Mine's still on Amazon, is an Amazon account, but I had to pay two extra bucks a month.
Okay. All right.
Well, it'll end in about 45 days.
She's got a bunch of stuff she watches on Showtime. Where is that Randy Rose documentary on? Is it on Showtime also?
The Randy Rhodes documentary is on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon.
Okay, because I do want to watch that too. Because my
Laura and I watched that. Months or so ago, maybe.
Yeah,
we watched it.
I watched it too. It was good.
Okay,
for sure.
All right, you want to go to the triple thing there, Alan?
Yeah. In my infinite wisdom, I didn't write down the name of Bill Maher's podcast.
It's
the Something Room.
The shit room.
Pretty much. The Bill Maher gets drunk and talks to Gene Simmons room.
Are you gonna go into any more depth with or are we just gonna talk about it?
Well, I've just kind of got some notes because I watched it a couple of weeks ago and I had planned on going through and refreshing myself on it today before the show, and I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
But some of the things that they discussed, Gene,
politics.
Well, we'll get to the politics part. But Gene talks about, you know, people being transgender and men being able to get pregnant and things like that. Let's see. Bill Maher talks about basically he got shot down by some girl at a very young age, and that's why he spends most of his time doing his TV show or his radio show or whatever. He focuses on work rather than on relationships.
Why he was hanging out at the Playboy Club like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I don't know. It says Bill opened up a bit about his personal life when he talked about being dumped by his first girlfriend and alluded to this being the cause of his reluctance to be involved in any serious relationships. So
he's still not. I don't think he still has.
I don't think he's ever been married, has he?
No.
I don't know.
That's what I said. I think he still drives by the Playboy Mansion. I don't think it exists anymore, but I think he still drives by there. But he did meet Gene there. I think that's where they said that's where they met.
They said they've been friends for like 30 some years.
Yeah, a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff that they talked about, you know, they kind of argued back and forth about their old friendship or whatever. when they got into the politics, some, you know, I'm going to agree with Gene, whether I, which I am neither right nor left, because I think they're all a bunch of hypocrites and they're in it for themselves or whatever. But Gene made a very good point. You know, when you sit here and you call somebody a Trump-tard, or you sit here and you call somebody a libtard, you're alienating half of your audience.
Right.
You know, so yeah. I thought Gene taking the high road and say, I'm not going to say anything negative or positive one way or the other.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, I thought they did a, I thought it was very respectful. I don't think it was like, it didn't seem to be a lot of pre-rehearsed stuff. I mean, it didn't come off that way anyway.
No, I didn't think it was more of a conversation.
It was very much more conversational. And Gene pushed back and was like, well, I'm disagree, whatever. I mean, it just seemed like that was okay. Oh, that was kind of cool, actually. I like those kind of interviews versus or discussions that are just more discussions.
Bill Maher is not an interviewer at all. He's
He talked about that. You know, the old show was politically incorrect because I'm on whatever side I want to be on. But
didn't Dean keep calling that politically correct when he was talking something about
he did.
He incorrect.
He kept correcting him. Yeah. Just very ironic.
Yeah. Now, one thing I will give Bill Maher credit on is, you know, as I understood it, when Trump first ran for president and was elected, Bill Maher was all for it. And Gene was in the same boat. They were all for it. And then when Trump started kind of acting childish and, you know, they were both like, nah, I'm out. I thought that was kind of cool, you know, because some people are just like, I'm dying on this hill. That's my boy, you know, and it's,
I
watched the show and it took me, it took me two different times to, first time I watched it about halfway through, I kind of was out in the garage and I got busy doing something else. And I was like, I just completely tuned it out. And I was like,
tells you everything you need to know about that interview.
I have to sit down and I really got to listen to this. So I made myself sit down and listen to it. And the thing is here, you know, I just don't like Bill Maher. I didn't like him on Politically Incorrect.
Well,
I just think he's just a real douche. I mean, I don't care what his political affiliation is or what is, he just comes over as an arrogant douche. And I'm sorry,
to a point, several of those political commentators.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, at least to me.
They're very basically, you know, even when Gene was saying stuff about certain things and he just basically would keep contradicting, saying, no, he's an asshole. You know, and just being, you know, Gene's trying to stay neutral and Bill's just keeps plugging at him. It's like, dude, just give it up, you know. And the thing about Gene is Gene. I didn't hear anything in that fucking interview that I ain't heard 50 fucking times. I really didn't hear anything new. I mean, it's you're never going to get anything out of Gene that's like, oh my God, really? Or something groundbreaking. Because Gene talks about himself all the time. But it's always the same thing. You know, it's always kind of the same. You know, I talked about his mom, talks about his dad, talks about how bad he treated Whatchamadoodle. He talks like a guy who's been in therapy and now he's like really feeling bad about shit. You know what I'm saying? Is it, as he's getting older, he doesn't have that.
Those twilight years start fucking with you.
They do. I mean, and he's really starting to kind of, you know, like maybe I need to make up for my bad shit.
I did keep cracking up and I'm bouncing around all over here, but I did crack up every time Bill would take a hit off a cigar or take a drink or whatever and Dean would get on him for it.
I was thinking that whole time because he played with that lighter and that cigar for at least 20 minutes before he even lit it up. I'm like, you know, he's a senator. Gene's like, going, don't you do it? Don't you do it?
I really thought Bill Maher was probably about half drunk.
There was no half to it.
You think he was half? I think he was slurred. And actually, because I was curious about that. So I watched, there was another one on there with Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
And I watched about 20 minutes.
I haven't seen
that
yet. I just saw that there is one.
And he's about the same in that. He's lit up. I mean, I think that's just kind of his stick, you know. Yeah. They kind of, you know, Joe Rogan wants to, you know, he'll sit around and smoke some weed before his, and then I think Bill just sits there and drinks some fucking whiskey.
Yeah, I see there's one here too with Kid Rock. That'll be interesting.
I bet that's pretty good, actually.
I'll never know.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a fan of Bill Maher, and I'll, like I said, but I did watch it, and you know, I liked it. I just wish there'd been something there that I hadn't heard before.
One thing that I did kind of notice, it felt to me like Bill met his match or knew he wasn't going to push the envelope or poke the bear and get anything at him. So he kind of just abruptly ended the interview.
I saw that too. That was kind of odd.
That's how it felt to me.
That, or I think it was just a time thing.
He's just, well, he didn't know what he was doing.
If you would notice, like the interview with Dana Carvey was like an hour and a half. There's a couple of interviews.
Oh, yeah, I guess they are kind of all there
that are like 2 hours. You know, I think it depends.
Gene told him.
I think it depends on how the discussion's going. If you're starting to make me look bad, we're done.
Well, maybe Gene told him at the very beginning, it's like, dude, I'm going to give you this. You know, that's about it. You know, but like you said,
I got to go sign some tequila bottles or vodka bottles.
Even though I don't drink this, I have to sign them. You know,
see, now that is the one thing that kills me most about that is like,
and the CBD oil and this shit. It's like, Gene, everything you fucking talked about all your life about and stressed on how it's this hypocrite. And that and that, you're a hypocrite. It's all about this.
We're all hypocrites in one way or the other.
Yep.
I know. He goes, I'll sign this bottle, but don't you drink it. Just put it on your shelf. Just give me some more money. Buy one for your grandma.
I'll sign this bottle and one of your items, and that's all. And then,
unless it's your hot girlfriend's titties, and I'll sign both of those.
As long as Shannon's not around.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that was the low point of the three things I had to watch.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I kind of liked it, though. I thought it was entertaining.
It was okay, but yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. It was hard to get through.
I've watched a lot worse.
Oh, yeah. I watched our show. Bill's just not getting it.
I didn't hear you. All I heard was, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear the first part.
We need to get some captions on our screen now.
Yeah, we do.
No, that's work. I ain't done it.
Yeah.
I'll be typing a bunch of stupid shit. Alan just said something really stupid.
Alan said anything, it was probably stupid. And on that note, people, visit agesofrock.com, check out our past episodes and social media links, and until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.